Welcome to PSM, the Professional Services Marketing Podcast. It's insight applied. And now, here's Brad and Scully.
Hello and welcome to PSM. If it's about professional services marketing, we'll be covering it here. I'm Brad Entwistle, and this is episode 101 for Friday, October 6, 2017. Scully, how are you, my friend? Have you got over the jet lag?
I have. I must say, New Zealand is a stunning place. That was a tough gig, but I was prepared to take it for the team and thoroughly enjoyed it. But I'm back ready for this momentous PSM.
And in momentous it is indeed. And we'll have more on that in just a moment.
This is PSM. It's insight applied.
And so, Scully, you're in Perth. I'm in Sydney. And we've both just been working together in the stunningly beautiful South Island of New Zealand around Queenstown. Now, that's real Lord of the Rings country, big mountains and alpine rivers and, well, for people from Perth, exceptionally chilly. But
it was, and I spotted a few orcs on the horizon, but I've lived to tell the tale.
Okay, well, now, last episode, we actually dropped a little bit of a hint that there was some big news coming in this episode of Professional Services Marketing. And that news, indeed, do we need a drum roll or something, Scully? With it? Oh, there you go. No expense spared on the drum rolls. That news is that this is going to be our last episode of Professional Services Marketing. And even as it comes out of my mouth, I'm getting emotional about it because it's been so much part of us for quite some time. But fear not. Don't stop here. Don't turn off. Don't leave us, because the podcast continues just without Scully and I. So, Scully, you better pick it up and explain yourself. Why did you come to this decision?
We've been inspired to niche till you get reesh.
And you're trying to be American again.
That's right. We've been really listening to some of our own advice in terms of really drilling down into effectively servicing the market that we're getting a lot of traction with, and that's in the education marketplace. But professional services is such an amazing sector, and we've got such a great following with this podcast that we've decided to bring in two guys with far more charm, far more charisma and intellect to take over, step into our shoes. So, yeah, a couple of super qualified, very bright guys in America, Josh Miles and David LaCourse, and they're going to step right into our shoes. And why don't you tell them a little bit, Brad, about how ridiculously well qualified the new PSM gurus are?
Well, I'll tell you what we can do is we can interview them and, you know, let them speak for themselves, and we'll get them online. And in fact, what we'll do is we'll get them online right now. So, Josh, are you with us?
I am.
There we go. Josh Miles. And David, are you with us?
I'm here as well.
There you go. So we've got connectivity all over the place happening here. So, Josh, you're in Indianapolis. Now, you've been here before.
I have been, and it's good to be back. And, you know, ever since you had reached out to interview me for the show a few years back, I've been a big fan and been listening. It's going to be weird to hear myself when I listen to PSM now instead of your voices, but it's an honor, and we really appreciate the invitation.
Well, I've got to say, we're honored that we got a fan. We had to interview you to get a fan, but and so you're in Indianapolis. As we speak, your sun's gone down, but right behind David, we've just noted that the sun has just finally dipped beyond the horizon in San Diego.
It's true. Yep. It's gone down.
And so you've been sort of roped into this by Josh.
No, it was an easy sell. I'm excited to be part of it. Whenever Josh does something, it's usually quality, and he and I have similar thoughts on things and really felt like we would bring an interesting perspective to your listeners. So real excited.
So guys, the thing I don't know is how did you guys meet?
So we actually met through a group that's here in the States called the Society for Marketing Professional Services. I know you guys have highlighted SMPS before on the show, but David and I met at a regional conference and have actually co-presented on a few of their stages in the past. So fitting that that's what brought us together for PSM.
All right. Well, let me grill you guys a bit now, because, you know, we don't just hand over PSM, the podcast, to just anybody. So this is, you've got to put your CVs on the line here and convince us. So, no, I mean, we're well and truly convinced. But Josh, I mean, you started in your own firm, which has since merged. But tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so I've got an agency here in Indianapolis, and we do work all over the country, and that's called Miles Herndon, again, based in Indianapolis. And we've got about 16 people that range between designers and brand strategists and account managers and web developers. So we're kind of an end-to-end branding shop, and of course, do a lot of work in the professional services space.
Okay. And of course, the reason that I first interviewed you a few years back was because of your book, Bold Brand, The New Rules for Differentiating Branding and Marketing Your Professional Services Firm, which you're working on once more.
Yeah. So that was actually published by the Content Marketing Institute. And they reached out to me a few months back and said, we're getting out of the publishing biz and we want to hand all of your rights back over to you. So do whatever you want with it. So I am pleased to announce that maybe by the time you hear this, the book will be available on Amazon as a version 2.0. So look for Bold Brand 2.0. And the subtext that we're using now is how to leverage brand strategy to reposition, differentiate, and market your professional services firm.
Fantastic. So give us a really quick rundown of the types of things that you'd do for clients, because, you know, it is fairly wide and yet you follow a fairly defined set of rules.
Yeah. And I think with a lot of our clients, we start out with brand strategy. So we take them through a process that we call DRIVE. So we're doing discovery research, kind of finding what those insights are from that, and then developing their brand voice and brand essence. So as you may have noticed, there's no mention of design, even though that's what a lot of our team does is design. That DRIVE process is really the strategy that lets us come up with where we should go with design from there. So, you know, all the usual things that agencies might do, from marketing to website development and logo design and those kind of things, are all things that we do kind of after DRIVE, but DRIVE has become our kind of leading entry point with clients.
And you're also, and I'm just saying this simply because I want to say the name, you know, you're an advisory board member at the Purdue University. I've always loved the name Purdue University. And I'm probably not even saying it right, am I?
That's pretty close.
So tell us what you do there.
You have to Hoosier it a little bit, as we'd say, but it's just Purdue. It's just softer, but it sounds very illustrious when you say it, though.
So what's your work there?
So I've been helping out with the communications school advisory board. And we were so fortunate that the guy who founded C-SPAN, which is the kind of closed circuit government station here on cable.
For our listeners in Australia, that would be APAC equivalent, which actually often runs C-SPAN.
So the guy who founded that is a Purdue grad, and Purdue is home to the archives of all of C-SPAN's historical footage. So he is still active in C-SPAN. He's a former chairman, former CEO of C-SPAN, of course, and had the pleasure and privilege of working with him to even help a little bit with the school's brand. So that has just been a treat to be involved and to kind of sit in from a marketing and branding perspective as to what the school's doing to market itself.
Brilliant. Okay. So David, you're up. Put your CV on the table. You've got your own brand strategy. You didn't know you were coming into this, did you? You've got your own brand strategy firm based in San Diego.
It's true. We are focused on the architecture, engineering, construction industry and helping them clarify who they are and what makes those firms unique in the marketplace, and then telling that story across a variety of medium.
So you really are deep into that professional services space.
Correct. Yes. I've chosen just one aspect of it, but I like learning from other professional services firms because there's a lot of great benchmarking that can happen, and a lot of the accountants and the consultants and lawyers are doing a great job marketing as well. So we can certainly learn from them.
Now, it seems as though everybody in California started their career in movies somewhere, and you started at Paramount Pictures.
It's true. I was able to secure an internship right out of college, started in the international marketing department, which was great because I had a degree in international relations and didn't know what the heck I was going to do with that. I wasn't going to become a foreign service diplomat, and I wasn't going to join this Central Intelligence Agency. I found a great internship at Paramount, and I was able to parlay that into a full-time job. And pretty quickly, the luster of the film industry wore off, and decided that that wasn't the industry I wanted to work in, but it was a great place to start. And I got to meet some movie stars. And I was able to stay on the screening list for several years and got to see a lot of great movies for free, which was a huge perk.
They finally bumped you off in the end, did they?
They did. Eventually, I wore out my welcome and I just stopped getting those invitations.
Okay, here's the really tough question. What's the 60-second version of the pathway between Paramount Pictures and LeCour's design?
Yeah, so I realized I wanted sort of more traditional training. I wasn't getting that at Paramount, and I was looking for a sales position where I would get good training, and I was able to work. I got a job at Reebok, and my boss there came from Procter & Gamble, and he had like a very traditional consumer products sales training background, and I learned a ton from him. And I had grown up playing sports, and I was interested in the sporting goods industry. I really enjoyed that. What I came to find out was that I'm an introvert, and being an external salesperson wasn't the best fit for me. So while I worked hard and I actually did a really good job, I felt like I was an imposter. And at that point, I, like I said, sort of a quarter-life crisis, and realized that I needed to be doing something where I had more control and I could work on things individually and then take them out into the world, rather than being out in the world and having to influence people for a particular sale. Ironically, now I head up the sales and business development for my own firm. So what happened was I started taking classes in graphic design and eventually enrolled in a full-time program. And then that became a pathway to LeCour's design.
Fantastic. And most notably for me, you've been a TEDx presenter twice, not once, but twice.
Yeah, it's perfect proof of it's not what you know, but who you know. In both cases, the people putting on the conference, I had a relationship with and was able to parlay that into speaking.
David, you're supposed to sell this up, mate. This is, you know, you're in high demand as a speaker.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So yeah, I got to speak on story, which is something I'm passionate about. And then I gave another talk at San Diego State University about the sort of the difference of following your passion versus following your heart. And that was a fun experience as well.
Fantastic. Well, I'm definitely falling into the camp. I'm not sure if you've seen it, that TEDx talk about procrastination. Forget the chap's name now, but he says, I always wanted to have done a TEDx talk or a TED talk. Not actually prepare for the TED talk.
Right, just have done it.
This is PSM. It's Insight Applied.
Okay, guys, now it's time to get down to work and news that you can use. And our first item comes from Contagious, and it's an opinion piece titled Internal Culture Breaks Out. And talking about internal culture and its effect on the business, and starting paragraph, now more than ever. What's going on inside companies is surfacing in the wider world and affecting the entire business in both good and bad ways. Uber, for example, lost its license in London last week because its approach and conduct demonstrate a lack of corporate responsibility, according to Transport for London, leaving 4.5 million people contemplating what they call an unwelcome return to the night bus. Gentlemen, the panel of minds, what do we think about culture in firms and its ability to break through? Scully?
I love this article because it just brings into view what is such a core part of everything we do in business. People buy people. We can do all sorts of fancy marketing, messaging, and all sorts of stuff. But really, and nothing is more true than with professional services firms, where there's often a point of difference is difficult to demonstrate, very difficult to articulate. So by using the internal culture to show what you've got, the depth of talent, but also the personality, is a really great way to position yourselves as someone that can deliver great service, great product, whatever it is that you're involved in. So I think culture, we all want to know what's going on. And social media lends itself in many ways to be able to do that without masses of money on major advertising. So by using storytelling, you can really demonstrate the positive sides of your culture, the human side of your business. And I guess Travis Kalanick at Uber has demonstrated the negative side of how culture can be toxic and destroy your brand altogether.
Well, David, have you seen, we just don't usually think about culture playing a big part in professional services firms, but yet when we do look at some of the big firms, the more publicized firms, you know, being they financial services or management consulting, you certainly do see the culture come through. Do you see that in your experience?
Absolutely. And it's one of those hot button topics that I'm seeing so frequently these days. And I think it's in line with the economy being good and firms wanting to both recruit and retain great talent. And so really what they're selling is their culture, and how they demonstrate that, you know, is certainly up to them. I'll give you a sort of quick example. Our firm just got hired to rebrand a firm simply because they wanted to do better at recruiting and retaining people. And it was a rebranding assignment, but we were focused on that initiative. And so we did some interesting things to help them in that realm. The other thing I noticed with culture is that a lot of times firms get scared of the word brand. And sometimes I use that word along with the word reputation as a good surrogate for the word brand, because people get and understand culture. Sometimes they have trouble getting their head around the word or the concept of brand.
So, I mean, differentiation, your client there wanting to differentiate themselves further by use of brand. Josh, that differentiation, in your experience, how closely aligned is usually the point of difference that a firm seeks to create and their culture, who they are actually?
Yeah, I think I'd just echo what David said, that more and more we're seeing companies who are just having such a hard time recruiting and attracting and keeping the people that they have and the types of talent they want, you know, that they can sell the technical work, but if you don't have the team to get it done and you don't have the team that wants to be there to get it done, you're going to come up short. As I was reading this article, I was just reminded of the example of, you know, this is a negative example of the things that are maybe not going so well with Uber, but just reminded me of the Bombas socks story, where these are two guys who are just seem to be having a blast making really cool socks. But beyond that, you know, they're kind of championing this cause of donating socks to homeless people. And it's just, you know, you just get this emotional connection, and it's a cultural rallying cry for them internally. And it's a big part of their brand. And it's obviously a big part of how they go to market. And I think for companies who fail to figure this out, maybe there's not some big altruistic thing that you can do within your professional services practice, but having a thing that's bigger than you or something that your culture can really rally behind, I think is a little bit of the secret sauce today.
Okay, so on to our next news item, and I am watching the clock, gentlemen. News item number three is that WPP, this is the ginormous Uber. Oh, you see, this is what I hate about Uber. They've destroyed the use of the word Uber. The ginormous agency conglomerate headed by Sir Martin Sorrell has invested in the podcaster, Brooklyn-based Gimlet, as part of their digital portfolio. So Gimlet Media, if you don't know, is, well, they're one of the teams making some fantastic podcast content, and they're not only doing it and just getting an audience, they're doing it well enough to create content for customers like Alphabet, of course, the holding company for Google, Ford, PepsiCo, The Match Group, eBay, Blue Apron, Goldman Sachs, Microsoft, just amongst some of them. So WPP has said that it's investing $5 million for an undisclosed minority stake in Gimlet. And they just seem to think that having podcasts in their back pocket as a go-to medium is a thing of the future. Well, we were convinced a long time ago. Josh, what do you think?
That's right. Well, first of all, I love seeing the little guys winning here. See Gimlet getting a big payday. But, you know, they've got a pretty amazing pedigree with a group that hails from shows like This American Life and others. But they're seeing people from all walks of media rushing to help them out. One of my favorite all-time podcasts is called Reply All, which they call just a show about the internet. But it's so insightful. It's so much fun. It's so different from other things that are out there. And if you're not familiar with Gimlet, check out their season one of the show Startup, which is kind of the meta version. It's the podcast about how they started a podcasting startup. So if that doesn't make your brain explode, go check it out. It's just delightful.
David?
Yeah, that's how I learned about Gimlet, was getting to know them and like them, because Alex Blumberg, the founder, really bears himself wide open in sharing his successes and failures. I mean, you know, almost to the point of like a therapy session with his wife. in that first season of Startup. And it's just fascinating, you know, to hear, you know, they had this vision and, you know, it's him having conversations with investors and it is great. And it feels validating as a podcast, a newly minted podcaster. I feel like I'm on the right track.
Fantastic. Well, Scully, I'm going to cut you out of the conversation for a moment. So guys, what do you think is the future for podcasting? Now, I know that immediately we start talking about anything audio, video, we all seem to go immediately to how big an audience can we create? How big is our audience? And yet we're all here on this podcast. We're talking about niche audiences. We're talking about professional services firms and even potentially, you know, sections of professional services firms. So, you know, Josh, does podcasting have a place for small niche audiences?
I think, you know, in investment language, past performance is never indicative of future results. But, you know, I would hope to think that this investment news is a really great sign for podcasting, that people who are way smarter than me, for sure, look at this and see the value in this audio medium. The fact that you can listen in whenever you want and how you want, and there are so many different ways to get to it. I think if anything, the future is going to maybe create a little more clarity around how to subscribe and how to find these shows. I find people who are new to podcasting just to be, maybe they find themselves a little intimidated about how to track it down, or how do you do a podcast? How do you find a podcast? How do you listen to one? So I think that's the real business opportunity is helping people, guiding people into how to access the content better.
Yeah. And I think too, once somebody, whether it's Apple or anybody else, really gets down podcasting metrics that can be measured, that opens up a whole new vista for commercialization of the content. David?
Well, I think it's fascinating that Gimlet, this investment was made in them probably because of their relationship with these big brands like Ford Company and Pepsi, and that Ford and Pepsi are hiring Gimlet to do their own branded content podcasts, right? So rather than Ford and Pepsi trying to create their own shows, not knowing how to do it, they're hiring an expert. And I think that has relevance to professional services, because we may be tempted to do that, and it may be a little bit intimidating at first, and perhaps it's best to team with somebody that already knows what they're doing. But in general, I just think it's a great medium for professional services, because our sales process and the business development cycle is so personal, and audio creates a sense of intimacy where you feel like you're really getting to know somebody. And we don't need to make that many sales. So frankly, we don't really need huge audiences. And if you just connect with, you know, half a dozen that could eventually lead to one project or client, it's certainly paid off in terms of return on an investment.
Absolutely. Just before we go, I do want to quickly quiz you guys. From your point of view, what's the future of PSM, the podcast?
That's certainly putting us on the spot, but I would love to maintain the heart of what you've built here. And we're just looking forward to hopefully spreading the word. And, you know, as we've all alluded to with podcasting, just to continue to grow this audience and to find other professional services marketers to join in the conversation here and to help us figure out how to shape this. You know, we'd love to have input. And Twitter perhaps is a great channel for now. I'm at Josh Miles on the Twitter. So if you have any ideas for future content or articles or news or guests that we should bring in, feel free to hit me up there.
Fantastic. David?
You guys have built a great platform. And I think certainly in the near term, we're going to continue with that. There's no reason for us to reinvent the wheel. I think we want to do some interviews with people that we admire, authors and thought leaders. We want to tap into interesting phenomenon and trends. Josh and I don't work at the same company, so, you know, we're going to be able to bring different perspectives, and, you know, we may even disagree on things, and that's fine. But we both believe that, you know, all boats will rise if we join together, and we're certainly committed to the space and excited to take over for you guys as you ride off into the sunset.
This is PSM. It's Insight Applied.
And that almost brings us to the end of episode 101 of PSM. And from here on in, Scully and I will be listeners, avid listeners. We will be listening intently to what happens in episode 102 of PSM and here on in. So if you'd like your fortnightly dose of professional services marketing goodness, you can still find us in the same place, your favorite podcast player. Search for PSM, Professional Services Marketing, and you'll continue to find us there. Now, if you've got any questions, comments, marketing examples, a rant, a rave of your own, you can Twitter Josh at Josh Miles, and he'll find you there. He's an avid Twitterer, if I can use that phrase. And so, Scully, this is it. The thing that we've actually put off for nearly a year because we didn't want to say goodbye, but it's time to say goodbye. So any last thoughts?
No, just take care of our little child, will you? It's not a baby anymore. It's almost an adolescent. So good luck, Josh and David. And we'll be listening in and hopefully we'll talk again before too long.
Absolutely.
Well, that is it for this episode of PSM. That is it for Andrew, Scully Sculthorpe and myself, Brad Entwistle. So for now, it's goodbye and good luck to Josh and David as they continue PSM. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Cheers.